Everybody, what is going on? It is Crypto Bobby. Hope you are having a great day, great night, wherever you are watching in from. Just wanted to give you a little bit of an idea as far as the overall scene here at the Bitcoin conference here in Miami. Because the big thing, and the only thing that really matters in life, doesn't matter about decentralization, doesn't matter about the tech. What matters is when Moon, when Lambos, when Ferraris, when Lambos. So let's take a look. So joking aside about Lambos, about Moons, about Ferraris, about Jaguars, I wanted to make this video to talk to you a little bit about what I saw happening at the conference, what I think some of the developing trends are going on, some really interesting projects that caught my eye. I had an awesome opportunity to speak with a number of founders, and I've lined up a few what should be fantastic interviews in the future here with some really interesting current projects as well as upcoming projects. But I wanted to take the time to just digest the conference, think about what I thought was the most important things that you folks might be interested in, and then put that out in this video today. So let's hop into it right now. The first thing I think that is pretty apparent, especially when you look at some of the returns of some of the more recent ICOs, is this seems like ICOs are getting hot again. Back in the summer of 2017 and earlier than that, there was a period where ICOs were the hot thing, the next big thing. And then as Bitcoin continued to rise throughout September or throughout October, November, and December, that really cooled off a lot of these ICO projects and a lot of the excitement around ICOs because you were just making so much money in Bitcoin and some of these other cryptocurrencies as well. But now people seem to be extremely, extremely excited about these ICOs that are going on or some of these upcoming ICOs. And the conference itself, while it was quote unquote the Bitcoin Miami conference, there was a heavy focus on projects that are upcoming or launching in the very near future. Specifically, there were a few that I thought were extremely interesting, and I will get into those. The one thing I will say though, that from a trend perspective and for most retail investors, probably going to be something that's a little bit more unfortunate, is it seems with a lot of the upcoming regulations that are happening or the regulations that these companies are planning on being delivered by the SEC and by some of these federal regulators, that a lot of these ICOs are now moving to private pre-sale type of sales, specifically for accredited investors, and really minimizing the emphasis on a main sale. There might still be a main sale to encourage community and user adoption, but for the most part, a lot of these upcoming ICOs seem to be running private pre-sales, which unless you're either an accredited investor or know somebody who might be in some type of a syndicate, it's probably gonna be pretty difficult for you to get into those private pre-sale type of opportunities for some of these best projects. Now, when you're looking at that, it's very different from what it was back in like June and July, where you had some of these massive projects that would pretty much essentially just do an ICO and the entire ICO would be a main sale that would sell out very quickly. They would throw up an ETH address on their website, smart contract would execute it, and there wouldn't be a ton of KYC and everything like that. Now, 6, 7, 8 months into the future from the maybe initial hot period of ICOs, there are a lot of legal considerations for these companies, and they're looking at how they can cover themselves because there isn't a lot of legal clarity around ICOs yet. But I think in talking to a lot of these founders, they're looking for how can we make sure if these guidelines come out that we are covered and are as legally sound as possible so our project doesn't get just doesn't get blown up by the SEC. So that's definitely something that you want to keep in mind. And I think it's a trend that's going to continue to develop. It's unfortunate for the majority of retail investors who are looking at this and trying to say, hey, you know, I want to participate in the next big ICO. I want a really good opportunity. Those opportunities, I think, are going to become more and more scarce. And it's almost going to be a replication, it seems like, of kind of the traditional venture capital game, just utilizing a tokenized method to do so. Now, to me, and I think that both projects are going to potentially have a really nice impact on the market, specifically Polyswarm, myself having a halfway technical background, what they're trying to do in cybersecurity, antivirus, both for individuals, corporate enterprises as well, I think is a really interesting and cool approach as far as incentivizing cybersecurity professionals to kind of fill a gap of protection. I think that's a really interesting project. And Autonomy is another one that I had actually never heard of previously. And I had a couple of friends that were at the event, and they talked to the founders there, and they're like, hey, you should go over to the booth, check them out, meet with them. And I had a chance to speak to their team and what they're doing in the Internet of Things. It's a really, I think, interesting approach as well. They already have an existing company, and they're leveraging a lot of the software and the relationships that they have with their existing company to do a really kind of interesting approach with the Internet of Things, both registering devices and creating kind of a device identity network across the growing world of IoT. So I think that could potentially be interesting. I haven't had a chance to dive through the entire white paper yet, but that's one I would also keep an eye on, and I'll link to these projects below so you can take a look at them. But not necessarily the same thing as what something like IOTA is doing, but it has some really interesting existing technology and existing relationships that I think they might be able to leverage in the future as well. One existing project that I thought was pretty cool that I personally have not, I have no money in any of these projects that I'm mentioning, by the way, but one existing project that I thought was pretty interesting that I knew of, a lot of you individuals on the, you know, on the channel, on the both the YouTube channel and the podcast might mention these guys. I hear about them all the time in Crypto Happy Hour, but Salt Lending. I thought the conversation that I had with some of the founding team over there was pretty fascinating. I think they really do have an interesting use case as well. They are already an existing platform, but they're in their early stages of the number of loans. I think they said they had about $20 million of loans outstanding. But it's a pretty interesting use case when you think about it, because there are a lot of quote unquote, you know, new crypto rich people out there. And you might own hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars in Bitcoin or whatever it might be, but you really like Bitcoin, you don't want to sell that Bitcoin, but you'd love to maybe renovate your house utilizing a loan with Bitcoin as the collateral. And what Salt Lending is allowing you to do is exactly just that. So allowing you to take out a loan using your crypto as collateral without having to cash out your crypto to avoid tax implications and things of that nature. So I thought what Salt Lending is doing there, I have no investment or relationship with Salt at all, but that was just, I've talked to a couple different existing projects and teams, and I thought that was one that was pretty, had a really interesting, I feel like, real world use case that is kind of outside of what you normally see. One of the coolest things about the conference, in my opinion, is the level of accessibility for some of these companies, for some of these founders. Pretty much anybody could go up to some of these booths and just walk up to any individual out there, regardless of how big their project is, regardless of how big their company was, and you can start up a conversation with the founder of any company out there. It was awesome. Like, you know, you could go up to speak to the president and the founder of WanChain. You could go up and speak to the president and founder of Polyswarm. You could go and you could speak to somebody at T0, which is launching a massive, massive ICO. Basically, the accessibility of these founders, I thought was pretty fascinating, because I come from an industry typically where, you know, you're never gonna have access to those people. They are highly inaccessible. It's not a very collaborative industry. Whereas I think the crypto blockchain world is very much still accessible. That could certainly change in the future as these conferences and as these type of things continue to grow. I think that accessibility, you know, being able to go up and speak to somebody at the conference that is the president of a $500 million cryptocurrency project or a multi-billion dollar cryptocurrency project, that might not be there in a year or two, but for now it is. And I think, you know, for somebody like myself and for somebody, anybody out there, I would recommend trying to go to these conferences and speaking to these people, because it is such an incredible opportunity, and some of them are so highly experienced and so intelligent that having that type of an opportunity, I think, is something that you really want to take advantage of anytime that you can, because that is the biggest thing when you're moving forward here. It's learning, it's trying to gain that knowledge, because that informational edge in this cryptocurrency world, I think, is such a massive, massive advantage that if you're not taking advantage of it, if you're not building your network, that's something that you should be learning how to do. And I actually had an opportunity to, that was one of the things I spoke to Omar Bam over at Cryptos News with the Zero. So I had a chance to meet him in person at the conference, and he had a whole film crew set up, which I just kind of was bouncing around the conference and wasn't really doing much filming, as you guys can pretty much see here. Wanted to wait till I got home to digest my thoughts there, but had a chance to speak to Omar, and that video should be upcoming soon. So that was pretty cool. But that was one of the big things. He asked me, you know, what was your biggest takeaway from the event? And my biggest takeaway on the event, at least in my opinion, was, you know, how important it is to network. And it's something that I don't necessarily do extremely well. I'm trying to be better at it, but how important it is to build your network in the space, because there are so many different people that are just connectors, and somebody might have some type of mining operation. Somebody might, you know certain people in the space. They might be able to introduce you to somebody else. That type of experience and being able to build a network, it is so much easier done in person than it is online if you're sending cold emails or something like that. And like I said, I mean, the level of accessibility of literally the co-founders of these projects standing in a booth talking to ordinary people like myself and yourself, it's incredible and it's awesome. So I really, that's one of the big things that I think, looking into the future, I'd like to do this more and more as well. Now, one of the things too, there were certainly, like I said, there were certainly some projects there that were silly. There were incredibly bright people. There were also individuals that I thought were probably more along the huckster category and things like that. And when you're looking at projects, there are so many different ICOs happening now, and you have to be extremely selective. The big thing, and I was looking at it, the big thing is, does it really need a blockchain solution? Does it really need to be decentralized? Or is this just some grand vision with no technology, with no specific expertise? Because there were definitely a lot of individuals there that did not have, at least in my opinion, a real chance to execute on the vision that they were talking about to justify, I'm sure, a lot of the investments that are being poured into those projects. And to highlight this in a little bit more depth, I want to bring up a tweet from Bruce Fenton, who actually spoke at the event. I thought he had a great speech. He talked about his Spacesuit X, its open source valuation for crypto assets that I've talked about before. I have a couple of videos on Spacesuit X. But he had a great tweet, and I'll kind of read it to you now. I'll bring it up on the screen here as well. But Bruce said, just saw an ICO pitch, 60% of 10 minutes spent on small talk, nonsense questions like, do you believe in blockchain? Slides disorganized, no clear path to why the token will be used, liberal use of other companies' logos and images in pitch, nonsensical claims, no tech. And that is definitely something that I've seen quite a bit from some of these ICO pitches and from just being at the conference and hearing people kind of come up and have some type of an ICO discussion with me and say, hey, you know, we're running this project. We want to work with you, or we want to hear what you have to think, or something like that. And a lot of them just seem like this big grand vision that's basically piggybacking off of everything else. And I know I'm probably a little bit more picky than some when it comes down to it, but I think Bruce's mind frame there itself was really interesting. And you can, at least in my opinion, you can kind of pretty easily tell the people that are super legit in the space and the people that are just kind of along for the ride to raise a bunch of money in an ICO and really not deliver on a product, when it's somebody who can come up to you and really articulate the project and the technology behind it and not focus on the ICO raise and not focus on the money, but actually focus on like the vision of the technology and things like that. That was what was really appealing to me. The individuals that would come up to me and be like, yo, we're getting on this exchange. We are raising this much money. We're gonna raise this. We're gonna do this. We're gonna, you know, get onto this exchange. Like, I don't really care. I don't want to hear about that. The individuals that are, you know, hey, we have a small team. We're working on this technology, working on interoperability across these different layers. We chose to use this technology rather than that technology because we think that it presents the best opportunity for the fastest transactions or, the best exchange of fungible, of fungible crypto assets and things like that. So that type of approach where somebody would come up to you and actually focus on the tech and not focus on the raise, I think is a pretty quick indicator of the mindset of the individual that you're talking to, because I think that is, I don't want to hear about the money raise as much as I want to hear about what you're actually doing. Because at some point in time, there's going to be, I think, we're obviously having a nice return up from the dip that we've had previously, but at some point in time, there's going to be some type of probably correction where some of these ICO projects that have no real inherent value, no utility to the token, are going to be highly devalued. And the best projects will, at least in my opinion, will hopefully still be around, but you have to be selective and you have to understand that, you know, the focus really, while you could focus on marketing and things like that, In the short term, that might be great and that might be very profitable, but in the long term, the companies that can actually deliver on their vision and on their tech is what is going to be massively, massively important. The last point to the conference and something that I talked about with people quite a lot was actually scalability, and specifically Ethereum scalability, because a lot of these projects that are launching are raising money via an ERC-20 token. Whether they're going to continue to build on the Ethereum platform or not was a pretty interesting topic of discussion. And hearing about, you know, hey, what are your thoughts on Ethereum scalability? You're supposed to have, you know, XYZ transactions per second, or you're going to be doing this and that. What do you think about the issues that Ethereum is having with, you know, CryptoKitties? How is the cost of running on the Ethereum network going to affect you? And some of the responses I thought were pretty interesting. Some people were basically just, you know, saying, hey, we are most confident. We see the most mindshare, the most developers working on the Ethereum as really as opposed to some of the other products out there. But if another, you know, if another technology comes along that can actually deliver on their vision and be what we think is a better fit than Ethereum, then we're open to moving. So that was something that I heard about quite a bit, and I thought was a pretty interesting point of discussion as well. So wrapping that up and going into just overall kind of the thought process of the event, like I said, I do think that ICOs are returning at this point in time. Seems like they're returning to prominence. A couple of the ones that I was impressed by were Polymath, Polyswarm, and Autonomy. I'm trying to set up interviews. I'm working on setting up interviews with all three of the founders of those companies. I think that would be fantastic to get moving in place. Also, I thought Salt was very interesting. The WanChain team, I mentioned a little bit previously, but the WanChain team is not, they already completed their ICO, but they're launching, I believe, they launched their mainnet while we were in Miami. And I think that there's a lot of excitement around that project. I don't own any WanChain, but I'd probably like to scoop that up on an exchange maybe in the future when it does, because that team was pretty impressive. And I like the way, the methodical way in which they approach the tech. So I was impressed by those folks. And then also just from a scalability issue with Ethereum, that was an interesting point of discussion. And something you want to keep an eye on as a lot of these other platforms, whether it's Neo, whether it's EOS, whether it's Qtum, whether it's Lisk, try to compete, whether it's Cardano, try to compete and take mindshare and development talent from the Ethereum community to whatever the platform of choice may potentially be in the future. I hope you enjoyed this video and just the overall thought process. We'll be back to the daily videos on the cryptocurrency markets and the trends in general tomorrow. But thank you guys so much for your time. If you are new to the channel, I do daily videos on the subject of cryptocurrency as well as YouTube Live Crypto Happy Hour. So hit the subscribe button and notify bell for that. Thank you so much for your time. Crypto Bobby signing out. Have a good one. Peace.